All right, let's get started with our message here today. And let's start with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for all that you've done for us already here within our service. I just appreciate the how people share. And when they're sharing, it's just, you know, how God has really been moving in their lives and how we continue to want God in our lives. So just we pray that the word that is spoken here today, Lord, glorifies you and glorifies your kingdom and glorifies your will and all the things that goes on within the stuff that we get to experience. So let it just be a blessing, and this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So today's message is called Love and or Obedience. Remember doing all these different options that we've got here. And this one, you know, it's probably within, you know, my life and stuff like that. It's sometimes easier to do the obedience than it is to do the love. But we're going to look at the difference between those and what it means in terms of what God has willed us to do. So in a very short snippet look of, you know, some scripture verses and stuff, we're going to go and look and see, you know, whether we should love or whether we should have obedience in our walk with God. So we're going to begin with a chapter or a verse in Matthew. And this is the time where Pharisees are coming to Jesus, and they're challenging him, right? Pharisees always do that because they're trying to find a way they can trip him up. Guess what? You're not going to be able to trip up God. So if you're trying to do that yourself, just give in, all right? It's not worth doing. However, the Pharisees were really diligent in their ways of doing that. So one of these Pharisees came in and asked Jesus, you know, what is the greatest commandment that's out there? And so maybe you remember this from Scripture, but let me put it up on the screen over here because it's important for us to see it. So in Matthew 22:36 through 40 says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And again, he's looking at it from a law perspective, right? So we know that the Pharisees, the way they lived, that if you followed the law more than other people, you were more holy than other people. And so this Pharisee is trying to figure out from Jesus' perspective, what is the greatest commandment, you know, in the law? And Jesus replies, he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And the second, you know, Jesus always throws in more stuff than what, because there's got to be some more meat to it than that. But he says this, and the second is like it. "Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." That was Jesus' response. So if we think sometimes of when we have this love or obedience, you know, we're looking at the scripture that Jesus is saying that if I don't know what to do for God, I just, you know, he's called me, but, you know, and I've got such a heart for him. But what do I do? What do I do with that sort of thing? Well, according to Jesus right here, you need just to love the Lord. Right? And not just know the Lord, but love him. And you're going to love him with all your heart. But it doesn't stop there because, you know, sometimes our heart gets weak or our heart gets pulled away. And so we're supposed to love him with all of our soul. The soul means the emotion and mind of our body that we have. So not only the heart, the essence of who we are, but our thoughts and stuff need to be reflective of that love. And then it talks about with all your mind. And I've always said, you know, my biggest complex I have in this world is my mind. My thoughts kind of take me places and stuff. I got to rein those in all the time and stuff. And it's really true. It's, you know, our mind, our thoughts have to have the love of God in them. You know, and it's really, really important to be able to do that. So if you get nothing more than out of this message, get the thought that God wants you to love him with everything that you've got. All right, how are you going to do that? You work that out. That's between you and God. All right, we've got suggestions of what you can do, what look like, you know, things that would be great and everything. But it needs to come from your heart. It's not something that you just show. Right? So this is what we're looking to do. This is who you are. You know, when we say that we, you know, someone says, well, who are you? You know, your first response could be, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a God believer. I'm a Jesus freak. You know, you could even say that. You know, it's like, get their attention, you know, by doing something like that. Or you can say, well, I'm a retired teacher now. You know, that goes kind of a worldly thing, you know. But really what's important in my life isn't that I've taught for whatever, that I'm not teaching now, but that I've got God inside of me. You know, and that I've got a love for God. It's not perfect, but it's there, you know. And we're working on it all the time and going along with it. And the idea is like that Jesus is talking about how that love is so, so important. And we're going to look again about some of the things that God tells us about love and everything. And here's a time where the next verse is about where Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to be going. And while he's here, right, there's a time of rejoicing and a time not to be doing all this fasting and a time not to be mournful, because you're walking in the light. You've got Jesus right there with you. But there's going to be a time where I'm gone. Jesus is gone, right? And then the disciples are going to be walking in a different world because Jesus isn't going to be right there. But you know what he says to do during this time? It's kind of neat. In John 13, 34 through 35, it says, "A new command I give you, love one another." Right? We already know that we're supposed to love the Lord your God, but he's telling us, the disciples in particular, that you need to love one another. And how is that love supposed to look? And he says, "I have loved you. You must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And we're supposed to love one another as God has loved us. Now, if we know we love God, and that is in our hearts, right? That love that's just overflowing in us needs to be shed out onto those people around us, shared with them, as the same love that you have for the Lord and the Lord has for you. And that's what we're supposed to do. Our job as Christians is to love one another. And you're going to say, well, yeah, I'm doing that. You know, because we'll say, you know, oh, I give money to the church and I pray for people. And then, you know, you go home and then you do those things that are selfish things that are just for you. And you are thinking about just yourself. But then when you get back to with other Christians and stuff, oh yeah, let's do this program and go on. And, you know, it's got to be 24/7 thing. All right? And God is telling us to love. And so we get this choice, love or obedience. What's it going to be? So the answer to the question is
love.
Yeah. It's not too hard to get and everything. We're looking at that. And we know that Jesus' theme through all the things that he said was always about love. Either the love that God has for us or the love that we should have for him and others. Because it goes out all the time. So you can imagine Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount going through, you know, the Beatitudes, then going through this whole section where he starts talking about, you know, you have heard it said, but I say to you, right? And we have always, you know, as they have been taught, you know, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and things like that. That there is always a retribution. If there's something in order to pay back, if somebody had hurt your son or your daughter, well, there's going to be a hurt for them, and they're going to have to pay back on that sort of thing, right? Well, Jesus says something different. Let's go to Matthew 5, 43 through 45, and it says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven." Now, it's really typical that if you really want to make acknowledgement that we are Christian, then God is saying, love me and love one another. And how does that look? Well, look how I loved you. But here's an example that someone has done you wrong. God says, love them as well. And we say in our minds, well, not so easy. All right? And you've been burned, not just once, not just twice, but probably multiple times, and I'm not having anything to do with that individual. And we've all been burned by other people at different times. And sometimes it's those that are closest to you that where it hurts the most. And I think in my mind all the time is that the sense that, you know, we might have hurt other people, but how have we hurt God? And yet He still loves us. That He still put His body on that cross for us so that we can have a new life, you know, and a new start, and forgiveness for the sins that we have, and just have all that sin stuff removed. And if we decide to love only those who are Christians, because that's what God commanded, you know, love one another because that's how you know you're a Christian. But then God says also, love your enemy. Because if we don't love our enemy, how are we any different than anybody else in this world? That if all we want to do is just hang around with our own people, that we never invite anybody different into our group, that we never change the way we do things because, you know, it works for us. Well, what about those other people? Are we really loving our enemies, or are we just kind of putting them off on the background and say, oh, I'll pray for you off in a distance? Or do you make an effort to really show the love the way God has shown you love? And it's like, it's hard to think about that because we have been programmed through society, through culture, through whatever else we have in this world, and we see it on television all the time, is that we don't love our enemies. We hate our enemies. And sometimes we pray for bad things to happen to our enemies. I've done that even. I'm kind of ashamed to say that, but I have it in the past. God, show them the hand of God. Knock them out. Take them out of this world. So they're not a problem to me. Right? We think about that sometimes. And it's like, that's not what God wants. What God wants is for that individual to come to know Him. That he or she can be saved through that great salvation message that's out there that we have latched on to. It's for them as well. But if they can't get it, if nobody's telling them or showing them the love of God that's out there. So let's look at this. We know there's the Pharisees were challenging Jesus another time. And they challenged Him in the sense of wanting to know where He got the authority to be able to do the things that He's been doing. He was doing all these miracles, all these great things. You know, the deaf were now hearing, the blind were now seeing. You know, there's demons were cast out. Just things that just were never happened before. And can you just imagine, you know, not only just the people around hearing all of the work that Jesus is doing for everyone, but then the Pharisees having to deal with all of that and to fit things into their program the way they want it to be. And it's really difficult. So Jesus comes back, and you know how He always is, and He says, I'll tell you what, I'll answer your question if you answer my question. Was John's baptism from heaven or from earth? Or from man? They chose not to answer that because they would have to signify that either the things that John was doing was from heaven, which meant, well, he talked about the next one coming that was greater than him, which would be Jesus. So they would have to recognize that was Jesus. And if they said it wasn't from heaven, then all the people who were baptized in that baptism of a repentance and their lives were changing and they were really coming to get to know God in a very special way, they'd tell the people, well, this is a bunch of garbage. And they couldn't stand for that. So, you know, they took the easy way out and said, well, we can't answer that. Well, Jesus says, I'm not going to answer that either. And then right afterwards, Jesus gives this little parable. I'm going to put that up on the screen. Right? And we're going to talk about why Jesus maybe gave this parable right at the time when he did. And it goes like this. In Matthew 21, 28, 32 says, what do you think? He says, there was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go work in the vineyard. Now, stop right there. And I want you to think about mom and dad telling you to get out and mow the lawn. Mom and dad telling you to clean up your bedroom. Mom and dad telling you to weed the garden. Get your homework done. Right? And your first response is probably going to be like this. I will not, he answered. But later, he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. Right? I love that. I will, sir. You know, giving him, you know, recognition of his authority and everything. But he did not go. So then Jesus asked the Pharisees, which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Now, did the Pharisees answer correctly? It's an easy answer. Yes. Okay. Don't read too much into it. Yes. He did it. Even though he was unwilling at first, he did go later. But the second son, he mouthed the words like he knew what he was supposed to do. And he was being pleasing to God, or being pleasing to his father. But he never did what he was supposed to do. So afterwards, Jesus, the verses still continue on here. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. What? Why would Jesus even say that about those people? Because they were the ones, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, that said, no, God, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. And then when they heard the testimony through John, they were baptized in repentance, which meant then they did do what God wanted them to do. Right? They're that servant of the father, whatever, the son, that says, no, I'm not going to do it, but then eventually went. He says, for John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. Even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Which meant you, the Pharisees, are the second son. You're saying, yes, I'm a believer, I know God and everything, but you don't do what God expects you to do. So the question is before you, you know, do you really love the Lord? Or is it just a mouthpiece for you? And see, this is not something that's new, this that you're just dabbling in and stuff like that. This is all the way down through in terms of where it is. I want to show you an example of another two people that you're going to think, well, maybe it's not a good example in terms of loving the Lord with all your heart and with all your strength and all of your mind. But I think it ties in perfectly with the story that we have right here that Jesus is talking about. And it's this time where Jesus is almost at the point of his glory, where he's hanging on the cross. And on either side of him, he's got a criminal on the left and he's got a criminal on the right. Right? And so let's go to this point where there's a conversation about that's going on. So Luke 23, 39 through 43 says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. You know, that's not much different than what the Pharisees were saying, because they were saying, if he truly is the Christ, he can save himself and then we'll worship him. Well, they were also the ones saying, show us a miracle and we'll worship you, and never did. They were also the ones that challenged Jesus, where do you get your authority, and wouldn't answer some of his questions. They were the ones that should have been able to recognize who Jesus is and yet refused to do that. They're just like this criminal here that says, aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us as well. Do it, no matter what we've done. And then we have, on the contrary, the other criminal. He says, but the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserved. What does that sound like to you? Recognition of a person that's a sinful person? Right? But this man has done nothing wrong. He's owing up to where he is and why he got there and all of that sort of thing. But he's also recognizing that Jesus doesn't deserve to be on that cross because he has done nothing wrong. Now, this is a guy that's basically at the last stage of his life, probably had absolutely no God interjection other than probably what he had going through the synagogue and what, you know, hearing all that stuff, but yet he chose a life of sin that put him where he is, being crucified. And he's accepting that sort of thing. And then he goes to Jesus. And he says, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, Lord, take me with you. I know where you're going. I know who you are. I recognize that sort of thing. But remember me sometime. And then Jesus says to him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. We can look at, again, the two examples that are here. And I think God does that in Scripture all the time. He gives us, looking at this, looking at this. Is it love or is it obedience? You know, is it what or who? You know, all these verses, these sermons that I've been doing about the either or that we're looking at. Today it's like love and obedience. And we're trying to put this in. I want you to know and to know that God wants you to love. Just plain and simple. It's not much more. We tend to make too much of the deal of what God wants us to do. It's a simple thing. He wants us to love Him and to love others. And to show that love and that which we can do. So, how does that love look? So we're going to go into John 14. And there's going to be another John verse here too. It's going to be talking similar about the same thing. And it says here in John 14, 23 to 24, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, right? This is what we're supposed to do, love him. Did we get that connection yet, that we're supposed to love? Because I'm hoping we did, because that's kind of what my message part of it is today. And it says here, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Oh. So we're supposed to be obedient to his teaching. Wait a minute, are we supposed to love him or be obedient? Okay, let's just go on. Maybe that will help. It says, my Father will love him, and I will come to him and make our home with him. And that's what we want too, right? We want God to live in us, and we're going to be in God and all that sort of thing. And it's just that beautiful connection that we're talking about. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Oh, this is where it hurts. Because it's like, Amen. Am I obeying God? Am I obedient to God and the things He does? Because if I'm not, then obviously I don't love Him. That's what Scripture is telling me right now. Tell me the very thing that is like, ouch. That it kind of cuts deep into what we've got here. That if we don't love Him, that we will not obey His teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And don't we like that sometimes when we struggle so much. And then someone says, you know, it corrects us and everything. We take the anger out on them and everything. But there's like, no, it's not me. I'm just the messenger. You know, don't kill the messenger all the time. You know, we get that sort of thing. But we want to take that out on somebody. But what God wants us to do is to love Him and obey, get us to obey Him. And His commands, His teachings, and the things that He has for us to do. Because it doesn't end here. There's more to it. In John 15:10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. Oh, so now we need to be obedient. Wait, do we need to love or do we need to be obedient? What is the one that we need to do? You know, you're starting to see the pattern that we're looking at, maybe in terms of the connection that we're making between love and obedience. Deep down in ourselves, in the very core of who we are, we need to love God. Because if we don't love God, we can't do anything. Now, if we do love God, there's things that God wants us to do within that love. So, look at this here in Hosea 6:6. This is an Old Testament thing. It's actually brought up into the New Testament as well. But it says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." Even in the Old Testament, those sacrifices that people did meant nothing to God if they didn't love God. It was a waste of time. But people ended up in the Old Testament loving the sacrifice stuff versus loving God. And that was their downfall. It was all about the sacrifices and all about their tradition and about ways we do things versus just loving God. That's what really pulled them away from God, because they found other ways to satisfy that love that God can give them. They found it in false idols. They found it in other worshiping. They found it in the worldly things that the other countries did and infiltrated into their own culture and stuff. It was really bad. So when we're talking about love, I always think about this love chapter, and it was actually brought up during Thursday's Bible study as well. I want to read this to you, and I want you to think about what we have read so far in Scripture and, you know, what the message is about love or obedience. What is it that's there? So in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians verses 4 through 13, it says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." Or is that right? Yeah, preserves. Perseveres. Yep. That's what love is. But God doesn't stop here yet, because we got some more scripture. It says, "Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the childish ways behind me. Now I see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." The child part is really just the worldly part of us. That when we become adult, and we can make that choice to love God, then it seems like the little things that we used to do to please mom and dad, you know, just to get people to like us, it means absolutely nothing. What's important is the love that we have, because as we become mature Christians, our love for the Lord has become more. It's become everything, you know, of what we are in our existence. That without God, we're really absolutely nothing. And because we know that, our strength and our faith, all that, and our love comes from the Lord. It's not something we create, but it's something that God gives us. I think there's another little section that goes on here too. It says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Because that's the basis of being Christian. Not just loving anything, but loving the Lord your God with everything you've got. Amen. That's what we're looking at. So, love changes everything. It changes our outlook on life. It changes our relationship with other people. It changes everything that we do. Because this next verse is really what it sums everything up and puts it all together. And John speaks about it in 2 John. And it's kind of a strong verse that's over here. It's not big, but it makes sense based upon what we've been talking about. In 2 John verse 6, it says, "And this is love." Because we always ask, what is love? Well, this is just really the core of it. "That we walk in obedience to His commands, as you have heard from the beginning. His command is that you walk in love." So love is the core essence of who we are as Christians. The obedience of following Jesus' teachings is the reflection, the outward reflection of that love in us. They go hand in hand. But there are people that try to be obedient just to do churchy things. You know, and it's not, that's not what God wants. God wants your heart first and foremost. Then you can do those churchy things. Then you can do the outreach that you have. Why? Because now your heart and your mind is in the right mindset. That you're not looking to get recognition from other people. What you're looking to do is get God glorified in the things that you're doing. Because you love Him so much, you want to share that sort of thing. And it just comes out of you in the obedience of following Jesus' teachings. Which is love one another. That's His command. So, is it love or is it obedience? Well, it's both. But you got to have love first. Amen? All right, Lord, just thank You for this word here today. And just ask that You continue to allow us to grow and to just have that love that You can give us. And let us not interfere with that love. With our own personal thoughts and stuff. And that's the maturing thing that we do. That's the sanctifying that we have. That God has set us apart to do His work, His will, in a world where there isn't much of that. We are to be His light. Aren't we the salt of the earth? That which has meaning, that has a real purpose to be able to go out there. So, Father, I pray that You do strengthen us in Your love, that we can do great things in the name of Jesus. And this we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.